Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee. Thanks for coming by. Today is the Friendly Witch Doctor Show. And we've done a lot of talking about a lot of different things on the show and a lot of home-based remedies, which I have put to use myself, and I think a few other people that I've spoken to are using some of the tricks of the trade that the girls have taught us. But I feel like everything we do as adults turns into a job. Everything that we try to do for ourselves is, you know, a challenge sometimes. Me, I need to be on a diet. I've needed to be on a diet as long as I can remember. In order to get healthy, you have to give up a lot of the things that you love, or at least put them into moderation. We talk about the benefits of eating vegetarian. And again, it's everything is up for you to make the decision. But we've talked about all these different things, and most everything means you have to give something up. So I thought to myself, I know that's not true because there's many wonderful places in the world, especially here in Florida, where you can go and be treated like a princess. And a lot of the things that you can do there are done for you. And I thought maybe it's time we talked about some of those things. And maybe to get yourself on a good road to caring about yourself is to treat yourself better. And you could do that by going to one of the local spas, or we have a friend right now who's doing something in Bimini, and if my life wasn't in such turmoil, I'd have robbed a bank to be able to go. I mean, the pictures she sends me are just absolutely gorgeous. The blue waters, the dolphins, it's a pretty much a raw food escape, but it's, you know, multiplied its worth because it's on the ocean. So we're going to talk about some of those things that Shelley and I both know about, and maybe you could start by today by just doing something nice for yourself instead of deciding you're going to change your whole life and it means you've got to change everything that you're comfortable with doing. That's what always makes those things the most challenging. Let's bring in Shell. Excuse me. Hi, honey. How are you?
Well, good morning, Rainey. I'm doing real good. And you, hon?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good. We're still at a, I got told yesterday again in the 12th hour that we won't realize the closing and all of the stuff that goes with that until probably next Wednesday. So ow. I was a little disappointed yesterday, a little angry, you might say, and feeling like, you know, it's hard for me to understand how the world of banking, which runs our world, by the way, side by side with the politicians and what have you, and they can't get their shit together. It just really bothers me. But
I
let go of it sometime last night.
Yeah, but the banking industry is in a lot of trouble, you know. And if you all you have to do is Google U.S. dollar, and you can see that we have a lot of problems in this country. We've been printing money for too long. We've devalued the U.S. dollar so much, and as a result of that, the banking industry is in a mess. And the disorganization, because like I said, I've closed on houses before, and I never went through this nonsense. And you, like you said, you hear of a lot of people going through the same thing. The banking industry is not on secure ground, and it's a shame because we're all getting caught up in in, you know, how the U.S. dollar has been affected.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think so much of it is bureaucratic, because it's, and I don't mean that by outside influences. I mean just in a bank itself, in the walls of your specific branches, your loan companies, your we have so many different kinds of banks and so many different kinds of appropriations for other people's money, and there's not enough time in a day to make 57 copies of every damn thing that transacts. And in the world of computers, I don't understand why it's necessary. So it's like we've compounded the fracture. We fixed it when the technology became what it is, and then we found out that the technology is only as good as the honest people that are operating it. So then in order to back up the technology on all the computer systems, you have to have paperwork, and they have to rest in the hands of somebody that's considered above reproach. And there isn't anybody like that. So it's copies of this copy. I signed on early this morning for a new Bank of America account. And I was like, first of all, you can't. There's so many people out there, you can't use something that you'll remember for like a username or anything, because all those things are gone. They're all used. And God knows how many of them are still active. So they give me a username that I will never in 1,000 years remember. So I guess I'll have to have it tattooed on my butt or something. So it's, you know, it's become so convoluted. We need to clean house and simplify it a little bit. I was told yesterday that one of the things that they're waiting for is some kind of a writ of refinancing has been accomplished, but now it has to rest someplace, I guess, so that it's seasoned or something for 3 days. Is there even an explanation for that? If the transaction is there and the monies are in the approved accounts, why does something have to sit for 3 days? I mean, you know, are we baking a bundt cake or something, and we got to let the dough sit for 5 days so it raises? I don't get it, Shell. It's just more bureaucracy and more red tape that doesn't need to be there. It's just
well,
a mess.
Always been there, but I do agree with you that it's gotten worse, and it's gotten worse since the financial bailout years ago.
Now it's everybody trying to cover their butts.
Right, exactly. And then that's a big part of it. And but the bottom line is there is light at the end of the tunnel. I know you're upset, but the bottom line is you're literally days. What you said about a week now, week and a half at the most.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, this is also a holiday weekend.
Yeah, think about the relief that you're going to feel once you're finally done with all these outside entities, and you can just start setting up. You know.
Yeah.
Because
I must say that I really, really unloaded on the young man that's supposed to be helping me. I mean, I didn't go off like a fishwife, but I said, I need you to understand exactly what's happening here. I said, and this is not only unprofessional in my eyes. He goes, but this is what happens all the time. I said, I don't believe that.
Yeah, I don't believe
that. I don't
it
believe that. So it is what it is, of course, and I will get past it. But, you know, when it seems like you have no control, that's when you get out of control. Funny, but true, right? So it made me think about today's show. And I thought to myself, another issue that, of course, we all get upset about and feel like, oh, my God, another thing that Rini or you, Shelley, has to take care of is your own personal health. And it usually means, you know, giving up a lot of the stuff that you really enjoy, not always, but a good time, a good portion of the time, it's about, you know, I mean, sugar in and of itself, we should all give up. I mean, we've been shown a million different ways why it's not good for you, and yet it's one of the most difficult. And it brings you comfort. So when you're stressed, like I am right now, sugar and I are like best friends right now. So it made me think about all the things that you know you need to do for yourself, and it seems like it always rests on your shoulders to make sure that it gets done. So that's why it's such a difficult trek. I mean, if you're sick, like the road you had to go on because, you know, you were getting no help from doctors and the Western medicine because they wanted to kind of compound your problems by giving you drugs and all kinds of stuff like that that are supposed to hide the issue instead of repair
right.
the issue.
Right.
And so you went on your own road, and I think you actually... more than anybody else I know, I might say, enjoy how you've transitioned your life and the food that you've taught yourself to enjoy and things like that. So, but you're different from a lot of other people. A lot of other people feel like they gave up everything that they loved, and that's hard to deal with psychologically. So I thought to myself, what else is out there? And, of course, I thought of the therapy building. And I remembered how many times I had to counsel somebody after a three-week stay at the Institute because they just spent $30,000 in the therapy building. And why did they do that? Because somebody else made them feel better. They didn't. They could just be there, and somebody else did something good for them. So that's a beautiful thing in and of itself. So I thought we'd talk about some of the things that are available out there that people could do that will support them, take a little bit of the load off, and still have them on the right road to making their own body a better place to live. What do you think?
Sure, sure. One of the things I do want to say, though, with regard to diet, before we move on to the therapies, and this thing that I think you may already do this, but in case not, this may even be helpful to you. But one of the things I noticed with myself, because I'm just like everybody else, even though I've gone through this healing experience in my life and I do eat pretty good, I also have cravings. And I've never gone back to meat, but I still crave cheese, and that's what crippled my shoulder and my knee and my hip. I really have to be careful with dairy. But I craved the cheese more than I was able to walk away from the meat, which surprised me because I was a big meat eater, but I was able to walk away from the meat and I never missed it because there's so many really, really good meat alternatives, you know, like Gardein and Boca Burgers and things like that. So there were all these alternatives I had that made me still feel like I was eating meat. But in the beginning, there weren't a lot of cheese alternatives. So that's what was difficult for me. And to this day, I still like cheese. So if I'm out with my friends and everybody's getting pizza, I'll get pizza. You know, there's no pizza out there unless you're going to a vegan restaurant that's made with anything other than dairy cheese. So anyway, the point is this, though, because I do eat things that I enjoy and I do eat things that I crave, and I do like sweets and I do like chocolates and things like that, but I don't feel good afterwards. So what I do is I allow myself to eat what I want to eat. I don't beat myself up over it, which is kind of counterproductive. If you're going to let yourself eat the thing, then don't beat yourself up to it because then it's like a double negative. You're really impacting yourself. If you're going to give into a craving, give into the craving. And don't add the emotional insult on top of maybe eating something that's really not that good for your body. And the other thing is to drink water or tea, believe it or not, that makes a huge difference on the impact of that negative thing. There's three things, just plain water, good clean water, filtered water. Second is if you can go and get alkaline water, there are machines that make alkaline water, or you can actually buy alkaline water like Essentials and other brands. They sell it at Whole Foods and places like that. You have to get it at a health food store. But there's actually health food stores now that sell alkaline water, and it just helps to boost the body's alkalinity. If you've got an upset stomach or a headache and you drink some alkaline water, it can help with that. The second thing is lemon water, because it's a natural diuretic and it pulls edema out of the tissues of the body. And a lot of times that's where discomfort and pain comes from, even if you're not aware of it, is that edema. So having some lemon water, you can put stevia in it, especially if you had a bunch of sweets during the day and that was your thing that you needed. If you have lemon water at night with some stevia in it, it tastes very refreshing. I'm talking about fresh squeezed lemon juice, though, not lemonade that you make. Take a glass of water, squeeze a whole lemon into it, one packet of stevia. You can get Stevita Supreme online at Amazon. It's really inexpensive. It comes in a box with 50 packets, and they're like pre-measured, and you put one or two packets in, nice. And that is really, really good at reducing inflammation in the body and reducing edema. So it can help you feel better by the time you get up in the morning. And then the last thing is good herbal teas. Teas have a very medicinal quality to the body and, again, can kind of counteract some poor dietary decisions during the day. So if you have a good cup of – I can't drink chamomile, but a lot of people can drink it. It happens to be very good for you to relax you. Ginger tea is very medicinal. It's good for the stomach. It's good in general. And green teas and red raspberry leaf tea, especially if you're having issues with nausea. Red raspberry leaf tea – not red raspberry tea, not flavored. I'm talking red raspberry leaf. It's a very mild, like a brown tea, but it's very good, and it can really calm down your stomach and things like that. So any type of hot teas are very, very good. Did you know that the like the Japanese and Chinese will always, if you notice, they always drink tea with their meals, and one of the reasons is if they eat anything that has fat in it, when you drink hot tea instead of a cold beverage, because here in the United States, everybody's drinking sodas and ice water and all this, it's really, really bad to drink ice, anything with ice in it, when you're eating food, for the simple reason that it coagulates the fat and your body has a real hard time breaking it down. That's why the Chinese and the Japanese always have hot tea with their meals, so that any of the lipids in their food, the fats, all right, are easily digested by the body. So it's a much better idea to have hot teas with your meals or before you go to bed at night. So those are just some dietary things that you can do that are fairly simple. Instead of giving up the things you like, find ways to comfortably counteract the effect they're going to have on your body. And I think that might be helpful to some people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'm a tea drinker too, cold tea a lot, and I also like raspberry leaf tea too, especially if I've got myself worked up over something and my stomach is, not like throw up nausea, just tight and unrelaxed and everything. That always helps me, as well as peppermint tea. I've always enjoyed peppermint tea when I feel like that.
Oh, yes, so I forgot to mention peppermint tea. Peppermint tea is another one that's very good for the body, and it's one that I drank. I'm surprised I forgot to mention it. You're absolutely right. Peppermint tea is awesome.
Yeah, I like peppermint tea too. And, of course, there's also a lot of organic teas out there right now that you can get at good stores. Publix carries some of them, and of course Whole Foods and Trader Joe's and places like that have got some wonderful teas. But there's like throat ease teas, there's teas with a little bit of senna in them so that you can, you know, help your bowel movements, regularity teas and things like that. There's a lot of sleepy time teas, not the brand sleepy time. Let me take that back. But teas that, you know, kind of relax you so that you sleep better. There's a lot of different things, and they're enjoyable. So that's a good thing. I'm glad you brought up the teas, because when I'm talking about the things that bring back a little pleasure and unload some of the responsibility, I think that that's important for people to for people to embrace those things. I also feel as though, like I said, a really, really good place to go let somebody else take care of you for a little while is a good thing. Everybody hang on 1 second. I suspect this is a bit of an emergency.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
She's not going to what? No, no, no. She's just got to go sign in at the building. That's all she's got to do. She goes in, signs in, says that she's there for the Michael Brewer case, and you'll wait until everybody gets there. Pete will be there to meet her there, and she'll be fine. All right. Good luck. Bye-bye. Sorry. Melissa is being deposed today for some more of the tail ends of Michael's case. So.
Okay.
I was afraid that might be what it was because they called me really early trying to remember where the deposition building was, so I got them organized on that. So when I saw them again, I was afraid it was something else having to do with that. I apologize,
right,
everybody.
Right.
So, but some of the great things I want to mention, and then we'll talk about each one of them a little bit. Colonics, of course, is an amazing tool. Body scrubs, baking soda baths, sea salt baths, aqua chi, massage, lymph drainage, reflexology, even having your hands massaged, even sitting with somebody when you're really stressed, let them take your hand and just massage your hand. You will be blown away with how quickly some of the stress will leave your shoulders, your head. If you're stressed, a lot of times we hold our heads like we're turtles. We try to pull it in as close to our shoulders as we can get it. I don't know why we do that, but we do that. And it makes all of those muscles, you get a headache, you have all of the repercussions of holding yourself so tense. Have you ever laid down flat on the floor and thought to yourself, okay, I'm just going to lay here and relax a few minutes, and then all of a sudden realize that you're holding your head with your own strength like a quarter of an inch off the floor?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that?
Yep.
And
yep. We don't
make
realize.
Yourself relax.
Oh.
No, you don't.
Oh, we keep ourselves.
That's right. You don't even know that you're doing it. And then when you relax, you feel your head drop to the floor. It's like,
know,
oh, my God,
like,
I didn't even know I was doing that. Yes.
With the floor
exactly.
move?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So
yep.
Listening and paying attention to what's going on in your body is also a big thing, and that's not so stressful as it is amusing, it can be. So I love what Shelley said about lemon water. But I also know that drinking a little bit of baking soda in a small glass of good water, like half a teaspoon of baking soda, although it's not incredibly tasty like lemon water. I like lemon water myself. But it has the ability to alkaline your body almost immediately. Did you know that?
No, I've never used baking soda. I mean, I think the lemon water is a better choice just because lemon is also, there's vitamin C in it. I don't know that baking soda has any nutritive value, and there's so many other ways to alkalize the body that are also nourishing. But I guess that would be a good alternative for somebody that maybe couldn't handle the tartness of lemon water, even if they put stevia in it. So, no, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, well, it's also a stomach settler, baking soda. My mother used to drink bitters and baking soda and water.
Wow!
Because she would get indigestion, she would get heartburn, and none of the, she was never a Tum or a Rolaid person. She would put bitters, excuse me, and baking soda, and a little bit of not hot water, but warm water, room temperature-ish water, and drink it right down. And she would tell me, you know, it would be gone instantaneously. But a colon therapist
gave me
the information
about
baking soda. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so many of these old home remedies are so much more effective and safer than all this over-the-counter stuff like Tums. I mean, Tums is really hazardous. There's so many other ingredients in there that you don't even need. They kind of just mess with the body. So when you can find these old, you know, these old homespun remedies, they really are quite effective and so much safer for the body.
Mm-hmm. So there is that. There's also the fact that soaking in a baking soda bath, I think.
That I have heard. In fact, we've actually done that at times. That I have heard of, and it's extremely beneficial.
Well, and it not only helps you detox a little bit, it also soothes your skin.
Yep.
If you take a baking soda bath, and when you get out, you feel like you've just had some kind of an oil treatment. Your skin, without being greasy, is as soft as can be. Baking soda also has the ability to pull things out of your skin. So
exactly.
Remember last summer when all the kids got bit by spiders? I think I shared it on the show.
Yes.
And I put them in baking soda baths to bring the poison from the spider bites out. And it works every time. And the one time, AJ got an infection. So, of course, we went to the pediatrician, and he said, what did you do to treat this? And I told him, he said, you did everything perfectly. He said, I just think that he probably scratched at this or something. And, I mean, he was, you know, he's like five the year that that happened. And, I mean, you know, playing and all that kind of stuff. But baking soda is good if somebody has something in their foot, a sliver in their foot. Anything like that, I have them soak in baking soda in a foot bath or in the tub or something. There's also
Before you go away from that, it's important to mention, because a lot of people wouldn't make this connection. I didn't until I made myself sick one time. Anytime you do anything in hot water, whether it be a salt bath or swimming in a warm hot pool or doing the baking soda bath, anytime you do anything in heated water, and it feels good, and it's good for the body, and it relaxes you, and it gets you in a good place, you always run the risk of becoming dehydrated, believe it or not, even though you're in water, because it also pulls moisture from the body. It pulls out edema, so it's very good for you. It's pulling out a lot of stuff, but in doing that, it's also drawing fluids through the skin. And you wouldn't realize that because you're inside of water. So it's really important anytime you do anything in hot baths, any kind of hot baths, make sure you drink at least one big glass of water when you're done to make sure that you refresh your internal moisture balance, so for lack of a better way of putting it, but you've got to rehydrate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very important. I also know of people that are struggling with their health. A lot of times, hot showers, hot baths, all that stuff is very good. But I also know of people who have gotten out of a very, very hot tub of water or just a hot shower and passed out.
Exactly.
So what Shelley is alerting you to could be very dangerous. So if I'm one of those people who I can scald myself in the shower. I mean, literally, I can scald myself in the shower. And then I get out, and I'm like a dish rag. So what she's saying is really factual, and it can happen quickly. It doesn't have to be an hour-long bath, because the water becomes tepid anyway, unless you keep running in hot water. But one of the things that I became very aware of at the Institute, there was a mineral pool with 2,000 pounds of sea salt. And the temperature was kept at 98, 99 degrees. Now, that's not hot to the touch. I mean, hot like, oh, my God, that's too hot. But it's very, very warm. And because of the salt, it drew toxins and, like Shelley just said, fluids. And even though there were trees and everything over the pool area at the Institute, there would be days when the temperature outside would be close to 100 in the middle of the day. And I'd walk up there to just survey to see who was using the pools and everything, because you have to keep an eye on people who are not well. And I'd have somebody in the pool who was, you know, running on batteries pretty much, and they'd be in the mineral pool. And I'd say, you got to come out of there. But this feels so good. My back hurts and this hurts. And I say, I know. But I'll have to take you and have you hydrated at the hospital. And they'll say, no, 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 I'm fine. And I'd get them out of the pool and dry them off and have them go in the swimming pool, not the cold dip, because that's too radical for them. Or if they sat in the jacuzzi, it would so drain them. So you do have to listen to your body. These things that are good for you, even though they seem like they're not, I mean, you know, nobody's giving you a shot of anything. Nobody's making you take some pill that you can't read the ingredients to. It's water. But if your body is already compromised from an illness or something, real hot water can be very, very dangerous. So I'm glad you brought that up, Shelley, because I can't tell you how many times I've had to call an ambulance for somebody in the mineral pool.
Well, actually, what you just said is another therapy. You don't have to go from super, super hot to super, super cold, but that actually is a therapy, since we're talking about therapies and things you can do. That actually strengthens the constitution. And what you do is you go in really, really hot water, like you go in a sauna or something like that for a certain amount of time until your body temperature has raised where you actually get a little pink in the face. And then you dive into what's called a cold pool, a pool that's not regular swimming pool. It's actually been chilled to be colder than a normal swimming pool.
Refrigerated, right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you go back and forth. And this actually strengthens the constitution. I didn't think I would be able to do it. I actually did that one night at the Institute. And the first time I did it, I thought I was going to have a frickin' heart attack. But I didn't. I was shocked that I was actually able to do it. And it really is a shock to the system. But after you're supposed to do it seven times in a row. But I'll tell you, by the seventh time, your body is acclimating to the extremes. And it really does strengthen the body. But one of the things that we also learned is that if you are going to go in a sauna or something like that, and that's going to be the only thing, you're not doing this hot-cold exercise to strengthen your constitution. You're just going into the sauna to relax. You should, because we had all the pools next to each other there, so it was simple to do this. So we would go, they would always say, end up with something that's like room temperature, something that's tepid. Don't go from a sauna, from a hot bath, directly to your room and go to bed and all that, because you've left the body in more of a fragile state. You need to do something that kind of perks the body back up again. It doesn't shock you. You're not going in ice cold water. So what I would do is when I would go to the sauna late at night, I would just jump in the regular swimming pool, which wasn't ice cold.
Right.
It was room temperature. I would swim to the other end and get out. I would feel a little bit more rejuvenated. So that's also, in addition to drinking some water, that's also very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's certainly the best alternative. Instead of going from one extreme to the other, the regular swimming pool, which was always... in the heat of the summer, not at night, but in the heat of the summer day, even the swimming pool could be relatively warm. Here in Florida, it's not like living in where I'm from, upstate New York, where we swam all the time. The springs would keep a swimming hole. Buttermilk Falls, I think of so many times. I can remember swimming in there as a kid and it being so cold that your bones would ache even as a child. But, you know, you can get used to anything. And, of course, I have a whole part of my Riley family are they do the polar bear dips in the winter.
Yeah, I could do that.
it's kind of fun, and they do it as a family. There's like 10 of them, it helps their immune system in the winter when everybody gets so sick up there from the weather and the going into artificial heat and going back outside to the freezing cold, getting your feet soaking wet, getting, you know, I mean, it's hard to stay healthy in that kind
of
climate.
Yeah, but the polar bear dips, are you talking about what these people do, like up in New York when it's wintertime and it's like 30 degrees up, and then they go to the beach and they dive in the water?
Yeah, they go. Well, most of my family goes to one of the lakes, Cayuga, Onondaga, one of those kind of lakes. And this winter was such a horrific winter up there. A lot of those lakes were frozen solid. So when they started to thaw, that was very refreshing, I would say.
I would think so.
But I also want to talk about another thing, and we touched on this one other time, and this is so easy, so simple, and so beneficial. You're in the shower, you get yourself a good brush, not a plastic brush, and you do skin brushing. And you can, there are all kinds of salt scrubs available out there in some of your nicer stores. Real sea salt is awesome. And to scrub with a brush, always towards your heart, the bottom of your feet, go up your legs, the palms of your hands, go up your arms, go around each breast, go around your belly, go around your backside, whatever you can reach with the brush. A handled brush is great for your back and the middle of your back. That will bring you so much relief from so many different little things. Skin that has pores that are closed. If the pores are closed on your skin, nothing escapes.
Well, one of the main benefits of skin brushing is that it stimulates the lymphatic system. It stimulates the lymph glands to start releasing toxins. In other words, your lymph glands are constantly absorbing toxins, and you have lymph gland bundles all over the body. In the legs, in your sides, near your breasts, in your armpits, things like that. I mean, they're all over the body. And what happens when you do the skin brushing, it actually stimulates these lymph glands to start letting go of some of the toxins. So the lymph glands are supposed to have toxins in them. It's what they do. One of the reasons why people get aches and pains and stiffness is because we don't move properly. That's one of the reasons why rebounding is so beneficial. The action of jumping up and down on a trampoline also allows the lymph glands, it gives them that compression that allows them to start secreting the toxins and dump the toxins out, and then you eliminate them through your bladder and, you know, through your colon. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the reasons that skin brushing is so beneficial is because it does stimulate this lymphatic system, and it helps you rid the body of toxins.
Well, and like I said before, anyway, you can, it brings you, it's pleasurable, first of all, and it is easy to do, and it's beneficial. So I'm trying to keep all these things that I'm talking about today a nice thing to do for yourself. That's inclusive of the hot cup of tea at night. I think a long time ago I told the story about having a Charlie horse in the middle of my forehead and being diagnosed by the local doctor as needing to be put on some kind of relaxant. And I looked at him and I said, "Didn't you just hear me say I take care of 11 children all under the age of 5 every day?" And he goes, "Yeah." And I said, "I need to be on my toes." So when I realized that, he said, "You're holding your back teeth so tight, you're like clenching your jaw, and you've made the muscle in your face and your forehead is like a Charlie horse." I said, "Oh, great, I have a Charlie horse in my forehead." Okay. So I went home, and I thought to myself, I just have to learn how to relax myself. So I drank that hot cup of tea in the middle of the day when everybody else was napping, and all I thought about was how hot the tea was. I didn't realize that, I mean, you know, that was 45 years ago. I didn't realize that I was meditating. I just thought I was calming myself down, you know, and it worked. It really worked. The lump on my forehead would get so big, it looked like I hit my head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it would hurt if I bent over or something. I mean, the pressure in that part of my forehead was excruciating. So
yeah, we have remarkable things when it comes to that kind of stuff, because what you decided to do was really the perfect solution. And the whole thing is that I would probably say that 90% of women or men or people that would be told to take the drug to relax that would have taken it without questioning it. They wouldn't have thought about the fact that they had so many responsibilities and they had children under their care. I mean, how many parents right now are taking drugs that make them not at their best and are taking care of children and don't even question it? They don't look for something holistic. So, you know, you have very good instincts. You always have your whole life. And that was a wonderful solution you came up with.
Well, and even today, now my solution is I put the top down on the car, I turn my music up as loud as I can not infringe on other people's hearing pleasure, and drive around in the sunshine. And it also gives me that, you know, okay, I can do this kind of an attitude. So you do have to do things, I think, for yourself, and it's important to understand who you are before you can even come up with those kind of solutions. You have to know who you are. And I think that's a struggle for a lot of people. A lot of people are torn between what other people tell them and what they know themselves. You know, you always think somebody who's giving you advice is smarter than you are. And often that can be a mistake. Often that can be a mistake. I want to share something really quickly before we move on, because it's appropriate for this moment. Earlier this week, we met with a doctor that we don't know very good, but we instantly loved him. Very gentle, very down to earth. The first time he looked at Big Spike, he just grabbed him right by the throat, felt of his neck, and said, "Oh, for God's sakes, yes, you got something going on there." And that's after 3 years of being with probably 8 or 9 other doctors who just kept looking at everything else. And this doctor, and he's got arthritis in both hands, and he just grabbed right a hold of me. He says, "Yep, it's right there. See this? Mom, it's right here. And I said, "Yeah, I do see it." So he sent us off to all the doctors that would be suitable to take care of him from there on out. And we just went back to see him this week. Now, I'm going to guess he's 70, but very weathered looking. So he's a sun worshiper. My guess is he probably fishes or something just by looking at he wears designer sneakers with a nice tread on them like you can walk on a boat with and stuff like that. And the tan. And out of the blue, he says, because we both instantly liked him, out of the blue he said, "So did you go to Miami yet?" And we said, "What?" And he said, "Well, they're sending you to Miami, aren't they?" And I said, "Not to our knowledge." He says, "Oh, I thought that was going to be their next idea, is to have you go to Miami to see what else we can do." Well, scared the hell out of Spike and I. And I looked at him and I said, "We don't know anything about this." I said, "Here's the game plan." And I explained to him what we were in the middle of doing. We came to see him just to get reevaluated, because now he doesn't have to take blood pressure medicine. He doesn't have to take any of those things because he's lost 40 pounds. So it's been, you know, we're both looking at each other and, "What the hell is he talking about?" Finally, I looked at him and I said, "You must have, he only met Spike once." So I'm sitting there, my mind is racing, and I looked at him and I said, "You have to be thinking of somebody else." And he said, "Oh." He said, "Well, maybe I am." He said, "But that's usually the way it goes, you know." So he's going back in his memory bank, his 70-year memory bank, and he's very sociable and he's very sweet and everything. And he got us both. I mean, I wish you could have seen the look on Big Spike's face. So we leave there. And I get right on the phone with one of the nurses that has been awesome with us at the radiologist. And I tell her what happened. And she goes, "There's no plans for anything like that." So here we are in an office. And we really like this man. And we know that he didn't do anything with any kind of intent to do harm. But do you understand that if you take everything for face value, when somebody who's who looks like they're the person in charge, how much damage can happen?
Yep, you got to question everything. And it doesn't mean that you don't come off point A and never move forward on anything, but at least get a opinion. When you're doing something that's talking about your survival, your recovery from something that's catastrophic, take the time to research it, even if it's just one day, even if it's just getting on Google and just kind of like taking in the information. But don't just blindly follow what doctors tell you to do. I did that for 20 years. Whatever the doctors told me to do, I did. I never questioned anything. And I got injured 3 or 4 times. I mean, one time I was crippled for 6 months. And, looking back on it, I was so sick then, I didn't do anything about it. If the same thing happened to me now, it was absolutely malpractice what this doctor did to me. And I couldn't walk for 6 months after it. And to this day, I still have problems with my lower back because of the incompetence of what this doctor did during surgery. But, but at the time, I didn't think of it. I didn't think of malpractice. I should have taken action against both the doctor and the hospital because, I couldn't walk for 6 months, But I didn't question. It wasn't until a few years after that I actually started questioning things. And it turns out that I should have questioned a lot more. I shouldn't have taken some of the drugs they had me take because they had nasty side effects. And again, I didn't even question that. People should really look at the side effects.
Well, and if something doesn't sound right to you, and the person who said it to you, you feel is knowledgeable, educated, in their realm, all that stuff. If it doesn't feel right to you, not asking a question about it is foolishness because everybody makes mistakes and everybody
very
can be wrong.
Very compassionate people that do kind of blindly follow their doctors because we're almost indoctrinated or brainwashed. Brainwashed is probably a good term to use because we really are kind of brainwashed not to question doctors, but it's absolutely not the appropriate way. And there are so many people that have stories like mine where they've taken control of their health. Some of them still take medication. Some of them went natural like me. But the one thing in common with all of us is that we now take responsibility. Whether you go the medical route or the holistic route or some combination of the two, don't just blindly follow anybody's advice, whether it's a naturopathic doctor or a medical doctor. Learn a little bit. If you have a particular illness, that was put on your plate for a reason. Learn a little bit about it. And learn the best ways to heal your body. Take control of your own healing experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, and go with your own personal instincts.
Exactly.
If you know something's not working the way it's worked for the last 50 years, you should be paying attention to it. If you know that all of a sudden this seems wrong or that seems wrong, you need to investigate yourself. I'm not against going to a doctor. But I don't put, all my eggs in their basket. You still have to take some responsibility on your own because they're not living in your body. You are. So on that note, let's talk a little bit more about, you mentioned something a couple minutes ago, rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
Bouncing up and down builds bone density.
Rebound there, for people who don't know what it is a little miniature trampoline. It's usually like a couple feet in diameter, like 2-3 feet in diameter, and it's something somebody can put in their living room.
Mm-hmm. And it, matter of fact, I remember years ago the director at the Institute saying to me, I just saw this lady and she has horrible bags under her eyes. Tell her she needs to get on the lymphaline, that's what we called them, lymphaline, for at least 10 minutes every morning. I said, what will that do? And he said, it'll get rid of those bags under her eyes. And it did, because it's the bags under your eyes hold toxins as well. So
right.
There's a million different things is the point. Reflexology, the bottom of your feet can absolutely have a whole bunch to do with what's going on in your body. I have several books on reflexology, and I find it incredibly interesting. Having been a heavy woman my whole life, working on my feet most of my life, my feet would like to definitely run away from home if they could still run. But what I've learned by looking at the reflexology charts and seeing where my feet hurt the worst is almost always where I have the most pain in the rest of my body. Simple little things. If you have a rolling pin, and nobody makes pies like that anymore, take the rolling pin out and put it under your feet and roll your feet up and down the rolling pin. Amazing. Relieves tension in your legs, relieves tension in your lower back, and helps your feet get more aligned. You have a lot of bones in your feet, a lot of connections that have to be lubricated, first of all, and your body will naturally lubricate everything, but they have to be moved the right way. So if you're not doing a lot of walking, if you are sitting at a desk all day, put the rolling pin under your desk. And now there's things I saw. I was in the exercise place the other day with the boys and looking at stuff, and there are things you can buy, but a rolling pin works too. So does a bottle. But it has
to
be hard.
So the nice thing about some of the foot massagers they have is that it's stationary. I mean, the rolling pin can roll away from you. It's a great idea in your home. But if you're going to someplace else, they do make those. They're stationary little devices where the roller
right.
is actually holding
the roller's
something.
On.
And sometimes they have little knobs on them so that not only are you just rolling the foot, but you're also getting like little pressure points, like somebody putting their fingertips on you. And they're great. And they're not really expensive either, you know, so it's a good option. Foot massages, and like you said before, hand massages. When you look at charts of the hands and charts of the feet, when you're talking about reflexology, it's both hand and feet. The
right.
the palm of the hand and the sole of the foot map all the different organs of the body. So if you're having issues, there's pressure points on your hands, there's pressure points on your feet that can cause relief to those particular organs. So it really is a neat thing. Even if you just went to the library and got out a book and looked at the map and started being sensitive to these areas, there's an area on the side of my hand that if I touch it, I mean, you touch it on most people, there's no reaction. You touch it on me and I damn near pass out. But it's because I have an issue with my pancreas. And if you touch this, it just lights up on me. But I've noticed that oftentimes if I massage it until it doesn't hurt anymore, if I'm nauseous, it goes away, that kind of thing. So you can actually start doing a little bit of self-reflexology, and there's some good books out there on it that are like self-help reflexology books.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, you know, there's also, I don't know if everybody's familiar with Tiger Balm. Tiger Balm has been around for a very, very long time, very, very mm-hmm. inexpensive. If you have a point like Shelley does on her hand, a lot of people do, a lot of people have got on their hands or on their feet because of their lifestyle or maybe for a good portion of their life. Say they worked on the beach, beautiful job, right? But they walked around in flip-flops all day in the sand. So now they have sections of their toes or up at the ball of their foot that is calloused and actually has reformed itself because of all those years on that. My hands hurt because all the years I was a waitress. My right thumb on my right hand, I could carry 6 plates at one time. I could carry 4 full cups of coffee, the old-fashioned kind of cups with the saucer and the cup in one hand full of coffee.
Wow.
Now my thumb, it, some days, is like, oh, so tender. And one of the therapists at the Institute many, many years ago went into the store and bought me a little tiny jar, they're very small, of Tiger Balm. And he said, just whenever it hurts you, put a little bit on the thumb of your other hand and just rub this Tiger Balm into there. And believe me, it helped. And
wow.
It's not an expensive thing. It's a nice thing. For years I carried one in my purse, you know.
Yeah. The one thing I like about Tiger Balm is that it's very simple ingredients, like Bengay and a lot of the ones that are commercial forms that are in the store. They have a lot of other ingredients in there that aren't really all that good for our body. Tiger Balm is a very pure product, but it really does give you that muscular relief. I've used it sometimes when I pull my neck out or my lower back. It's a great product, and it really does relax the muscles.
Mm-hmm. So with all of that being said, my suggestion to most of you out there is to find a place. There's a lot of massage therapists now that advertise and come to your home. A massage once a month, a massage is a wonderful thing to do for you and your body. A good massage therapist will massage your scalp, which is good for you, by the way. In a happy, healthy head, your scalp should be very movable. You should be able to take a hold of the top of your head, mush it around, and make your eyebrows move. That means it's healthy. If it's tight, skin tight, and doesn't have some movability, there's something going on, and you need to work on that. A lot of times, I notice that people that don't have that kind of movement in their scalp lose their hair. So I don't know whether there's a correlation. I've never studied it. That's just an observation I made.
Mm-hmm.
And hats on a man's head. I used to yell at all the young boys, all my guys' friends that would work all day with a hat on. And I say, you're going to go bald. Get rid of the hat. Get rid of the hat because it wears the hair away. Even a child. If a child doesn't get a baby, not a child, a baby doesn't get moved around, it will rub its hair off the back of its head.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, your hair is alive, just like your nails are alive. Everything on your body that grows means it's alive. So you need to treat it that way. A good scalp massage that you do for yourself when you're shampooing your hair, when you're putting conditioner in your hair, any of those kind of things is great for you.
Take the time, we're talking about the scalp, take the time to buy hair care products that say they are SLS or paraben-free. Really important. So many of the commercial brands have parabens in them, have the lauryl sulfates, things like that. And the anything that has lauris in the ingredient, stay away from them. So it has to say SLS or paraben free, and those are much safer and effective for healthy scalp.
Uh huh. And healthy hair. If your scalp is healthy, your hair will be healthy.
Exactly.
Getting another good little thing to remember, which is easy to take care of, is trimming your hair. You girls that have got this really, really, really long, long hair, first of all, if your hair is very heavy, you'll often have headaches because it's too much for your scalp to accommodate when you let your hair grow down. If it's thin hair, it can probably be down to your feet. But if you have a real full head of hair, like Shelly has very, very thick hair. If Shelly's hair gets too long, like down to the middle of her back or something, it will give her headaches.
Yeah.
Because
it's one of the
almost
reasons
too heavy.
I wonder why I always keep cutting it shorter,
yep.
And that's one of the reasons why.
The other thing is rubber bands in your hair. Big mistake to have beautiful hair is to put rubber bands in it. I see everybody now, they go to the trouble of having long hair, and every time I see them, it's all in a very weird-looking knot on top of their head with a clip in it. So I don't know why they bother having long hair myself, but that's another story. But all these things are easy. Brushing your hair, I used to make Diana brush her hair 100 strokes every night. Diana has gorgeous hair.
Mm-hmm.
I always brush my hair a lot. That's right.
Yep.
And takes care of the same with the skin brushing. It's about removing all the dead cells so that new ones can regenerate and so that your skin has a glow, the same with your scalp. We're out of time. There's so many wonderful things you can do for yourself. Don't hesitate to do them. And it's not about taking something away. It's not about not having that piece of cheesecake that you love to have with all the girls. It's about just doing something that's going to make you feel better, look better, and feel better about yourself. So exactly. I want everybody to have a great day today. It's nice and sunny, and hopefully it's not too hot this afternoon. I think it's supposed to be, though. Our weather is getting very warm very quickly. But everybody have a great day. We'll be back tomorrow, and I look forward to talking to you then. Thanks, Shell. I'll talk to you. I'm going to call you in a minute. I got something else to share with you.
All right. Sounds good, sweetie. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody. God bless.